VoiceOfAmerica.com.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101 with host Susan Barnelstone. We're so happy you've joined us this weekend. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that'll help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's the host of Crime Prevention 101, Susan Barnelstone.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Crime Prevention 101. The Personal Safety Radio Show, which, as I like to put it, has an optimistic perspective on a sober subject. And I hope you all had a wonderful and safe week since we were last together. Now, if you heard last week's show, you might remember that January is a very busy month, crime prevention-wise. First of all, it's Self-Defense Awareness Month, and it's also Stalking Awareness Month. And I'm going to be talking about both of those topics on today's show. And I've got really good personal safety tips for you, and I've got some research resources for you as well coming up throughout the show. And if you didn't get a chance to catch last week's show, we did it talking about self-defense with the people from Kid Power, and that's just one of the best self-defense programs for kids and teens on the planet. I really urge you to go back into the archives and look at some of the past shows, and especially that show. Now, I have one of my partners in crime with me today to help me out on the show. She is media personality Valerie Smaldone. And just let me tell you a little bit about this dynamo of a woman. Valerie has had a 25-year career in radio, and she was rated the number one host on New York City's 106.7 FM station. And she's also a five-time Billboard Magazine Award winner. That is huge. She is the co-creator, writer, producer, and host of Spotlight On, which was a nationally syndicated program which had in-depth interviews of top recording people. Like, she talked to Paul McCartney, she talked to Elton John, Celine Dion. I mean, she interviewed people like that. Amazing. She also just finished a run this past fall of a play that she co-wrote and starred in, which is titled Spit It Out. She has appeared in over 1,000 commercials, and you sports fans can hear her as the voice of God currently on the Boomer Esiason show on the Madison Square MSG Network, Madison Square Garden Network. And she's also been a spokesperson for many charitable causes, including the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Susan. I'm exhausted listening to you.
I'm exhausted.
Did I do all that, really? Oh, my goodness.
I cut a lot out of that.
I know. You know, it's just funny when you hear your bio sort of encapsulated, and you say, "Yeah, I guess I did all that." And I'm delighted to be on your show. I feel very honored to be with you because you give such great information out every week on this program. So thank you for having me on the show.
Ah, well, thank you so much. And I'm especially thrilled that you're going to be my partner in crime today because we're going to be talking, you know, at least the first part of the show, we're going to talk about stalking. And you have had two stalking incidents. So
yeah.
I know you've got a lot to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Valerie, I found an interesting quiz on stalking. Would you like to take the quiz before we actually start?
Yeah, sure.
All right, because I think a lot of people don't know really what we're talking about when you say stalking. And I have to tell you, I got a 70. And I know a lot about stalking. I got a 70 out of 100 because I was way low on the figures. So just a couple of questions I thought we would start off with. Valerie, how many people in the United States do you think are stalked every year? 400,000, 800,000, 1 million, or 1.4 million?
I'm going to go with the largest number, 1.4 million.
And that would be a good guess. And that's what I got wrong. Yes, 1.4 million people stalked, and growing, by the way. I haven't seen the figures for the last couple of years. And over a million of those were women, so women are the largest part of the population that are stalked. Also, most of the stalkers are men,
mm-hmm.
which I think is known, but there are women stalkers as well. All right, let's try this one. Most stalking victims are celebrities, true or false?
I would say false.
Absolutely. Most Most people that are stalking victims are ordinary citizens who are known to the stalker. It's not just some crazy person that gets a fixation on you. That's kind of a lesser amount. It's within that category there. And interestingly enough,
they get the most press, right, Susan?
I'm sorry?
That story of celebrity stalking gets the most press.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And the only time you hear about the kind of ordinary people is when the stalker has killed them.
Exactly. You're right.
But that is by far the largest category of stalking victims. And another interesting fact about the stalkers is that although studies show that some stalkers suffer from mental illness, by and large, they really don't. The majority of them are not mentally ill. They've got definite problems. But not mental illness. They kind of do know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one last question, Valerie.
So far I'm doing well, right?
You're doing good. You did better than me. All right, one last question. If you ignore a stalker, he or she will go away. True or false?
False.
And you know that from experience, yes.
Yeah.
Stalkers rarely just go away. And, in fact, their stalking behavior may escalate over time if their victims ignore them.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So now, interesting.
Well, why don't we talk a little bit about what happened to you?
Okay. Unfortunately, I've been the victim of two stalking incidents in my life, mainly involved with my radio career. The second one, which I'll tell you about first, was simply a very disturbed listener. He was deluded. He thought we had a relationship. He thought he knew my brother. I don't have a brother. Okay, so
and this is common too.
Yeah, clearly this was a very disturbed individual. It got scary when he showed up at an event where I was speaking or hosting. I knew his name from he put his name on the emails to me. So when I received a check from him to purchase a ticket at the event, I got very nervous and I had undercover police there to scope him out, to try and understand what his issue was, and their advice to me was to register a complaint with my local police precinct where I live, which I did, and they took amazing care of that situation. So that wasn't nearly as scary as the first incident. The first incident happened over a period of 7 years. It escalated very slowly. There was an intrusion in my life. There were phone calls that went in the middle of the night, letters, all kinds of things like that. Why it was so scary is that it turned out to be someone I knew that was a colleague and a friend. And that is extremely frightening to know that you're confiding in somebody in your life and they're using it against you.
How long into the incident did you actually find out who it was?
I had my thoughts about it. I had two or three people I thought were doing this, but I'd say it took me about 3 years to really understand who this most likely would be. And then there's the whole legality of how to make it go away. And it went through my company. There were a lot of security detail involved. It was a nightmare. And he finally went away, even after he was fired for this, because they found him wiretapping. Wiretapping me at the radio station. When the last vestige of communication between us was one individual who was unwitting. He did not realize he was being used. And when he was cut off, there was no more avenue to get to me, so that it literally stopped. I will also say I did a lot of praying, and I'm not a terribly religious person, but I went to, this is an interesting little side note, I went to a retreat in New Mexico that is known for miraculous things that happen. You know, people walk in, they throw away their crutches, and they have this sacred mud. And I remember saying, I've tried everything else. Let me try the mud. And after I took the mud, it stopped a month after. So
really?
I'm just saying, I don't know what that means. I'm just saying that happened.
What's the name of the place?
It's called Chimayo. It's a little tiny church in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico. And, you know, New Mexico is very well known for a mixture of Native American culture and Catholicism. So it's sort of a very mystical area. And I don't know, but I had the mud, and this ended a month after the mud.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm certainly a believer in anything and trying anything I wouldn't totally rule it out. Of course, I also know there are some other things that we can do to be that are helpful, and I'm gonna talk about that. And you had two very classic incidents, really. You had, and you being a celebrity, you had the one case where you absolutely did not know the person, where it was someone that fixated on you, and he might have even been one of the ones that were classified as mentally ill. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they ever actually did any testing on him, but that at least when the police got involved, at least he was able to come to his senses. Unfortunately, what often happens with those people is they become fixated on somebody else.
Right.
They don't just, you know, wake up and say, "God, what a fool I've been."
Right, right. And I did have an order of protection against him, which I renewed they expire after a certain amount of time. And the police officer suggested I just keep renewing the order of protection. And when he violated it, which he did, he showed up at the radio station downstairs. Once again, they called him in. They must have brought him in about three times and he came. He willingly came. He lived in New Jersey, and this was New York City, and they had him come in. And he really was very kind of earnest about it. He really thought that we had a relationship, and he was just trying to reach out to me, and he didn't understand what the issue was. So the man was clearly disturbed.
Now, he probably would fall into that category. And, you know, again, they really don't know what predicts this kind of thing, but they do feel that a minority of them are actually kind of the crazy ones, the delusional ones. And he pretty much sounds like one of those.
Correct.
The other one is even more insidious, and it's a little more of a common type of situation where it's somebody that you know, and it's someone that can get at you. And this is very common in between ex-partners, boyfriend, girlfriend, family, husband and wife,
right.
People that break up, where they do know you somehow. People having it in a work situation, also very common. And you had an order of protection against him once you realized who he was?
No, I did not. I did not. He had so much information on me, and this was really before the advent of cell phones or of caller ID or anything like that. So I was sort of lost at the time. I couldn't prove a lot of this. And I was just, he had my credit card numbers. He was ordering things that went nowhere, you know, like $5,000 worth of electronic equipment going to an address that didn't exist on my credit card. All I was trying to do was put out fires daily with this guy. And I did not go through with it because I did not want to prosecute. And they told me that I probably would have to go to court, and I did not want to put myself through that. So I chose not to.
Wow. Well, you know, again, these are some of the options. We're going to talk about some of that as well. And we're coming up on our first break, Valerie, so why don't we take a break here, and when we pick it up, talk a little bit more about what we can do to stop that stalker.
Sounds good.
Everybody, all right, stay tuned.
News, opinion,
passion. Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
There's a purpose revolution sweeping the world. Now more than ever before, in the midst of so many things they could do, people are asking what they should do. Since 1991, John Stanko has been helping people all over the world answer these questions. Now John is bringing his purpose message and philosophy to Voice America, where you will hear from people of purpose like John, who have found what they were created to do. Join John and his guests from around the world every week on his show, Your Purpose Quest, 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern. Right here on Voice America. After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, How to Respond to Danger in 20 Seconds or Less. Check out www.fightsafety.com. CrimeSafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 Personal Safety Teleseminars. Think fast, talk fast, fight smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's Personal Safety Seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions at fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions at fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome back. Crime Prevention 101, and I'm talking with my girl Valerie Smoldone. We're talking about stalking and problems that she's had, and I just want to also say that it's very important to those of you that are already a survivor of this kind of crime or any other crime, please understand that nothing that happened was your fault. Even if you think that you used bad judgment in a situation and left yourself vulnerable, that is never an excuse for a crime or for violence. And please call yourself a survivor and not a victim. And understand that with the proper professional help, you can put what happens into perspective and you can get on with your life. And also, if you've been a stalking survivor, please, please remember you didn't ask for it. You didn't want it. You didn't deserve it. You did nothing wrong. The blame for everything falls on the stalker. So I always have to say that, and that is just unfortunate. We do tend to blame ourselves for things that happen.
Well, that's true. And in my case, with this, as I'm going back over this, you know, it was such a horrible period of time in my life. I felt like I walked around with a black cloud, and nobody could really understand what I was going through. It was a very lonely time. I felt I had given this guy, who was my friend, we went to school together. He was older than me, but we had that in common. We worked together. I gave him information about me unwittingly. You know, he was very generous to me. He would give me beautiful gifts. He would take me out in limousines sometimes. I had no interest in him as a relationship. I was just his friend. We were both married to other people. I had no interest in him in any way. Obviously, he did. That was the difference. And I think I was naive because he was telling me stories that made me feel sorry for him. You know, he was trying to draw me into his confidence. So looking back now, I was young, too. I was quite young. I didn't have the jaundiced eye that an older person might have, you know, who's been around. I was very open. I told him things that perhaps I shouldn't have. So that's a very good point, Susan, about not feeling like you contributed to this, because you do. You tend to feel like, what an idiot I was. Why did I do this? I started this.
Yeah, we always do take the blame on ourselves, especially women do it. And even at that point, you didn't know. There was no way you could have known. And you were talking to a friend. You had no idea that he was going to use it against you. A very common kind of stalking situation are domestic partners or husband and wives that break up, and they become stalked. And, of course, the same kind of situation. They know everything there is to know. They know the credit cards. They know the habits. They know the friends. it makes that is the worst case scenario, because they can get at you in any number of ways. And I thought maybe I would go over some of the common stuff. Now let me ask you, well, you do know this, but some of the common stalking behaviors, and it can go on for years, literally years, before it's actually addressed. Following, frequent phone calls and text messages now. Monitoring of computer usage if you're in a domestic situation with the person. That's also one of the ways that they find out what you're doing. These are things that you're going to have to watch out. They threaten your, not only can, do they threaten you, and they can actually threaten you with physical harm, they threaten your family members. They if you don't do what I say, I will harm your family. They'll threaten your pets, the children. And by the way, you don't actually have to have extremely sophisticated technical knowledge to monitor somebody and find out what they're doing computer-wise. Even if you change your phone number to an unlisted phone number, it's kind of easy with just a small amount of technical knowledge to find out an unlisted phone number. And if they can't do it technically, they do it by social engineering.
What is that?
And that's kind of one of the things. They pretend to be a repairman and get access to your home. And so when I talk about the tips, I'm going to talk about what to do in that situation.
Okay.
They can they pretend to be a friend of the family that has lost touch with you, and they get your phone numbers from unwitting friends or from your job, mm-hmm. kind of things like that. So they can find ways to snoop technologically, and they can also social engineer or finesse their way to getting this information that they're denied. And they can be quite resourceful. See, unfortunately, if you're in a stalking situation, there's really no single course of action that's going to end the harassment. And this is an extremely unfair situation, but as you mentioned, Valerie, you're the one, the victim is the one that's going to have to change your normal day-to-day routines and your way of life, and sometimes radically. I've spoken to people that actually had to kind of enter a victim protection program, mm-hmm. where they actually had to change their name. They had to go underground, just as if you were a witness in a high-profile trial.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are very extreme cases, of course. I mean, those are just incredibly difficult cases. I just want to point out that in the first stalking case for me, the one that I knew, and this could happen to other people, he was a person who worked within my company, so he had all the information there. It wasn't, you know, he didn't have to go through any of those measures.
Right.
The information was there, and the subtle way, he wasn't threatening, but the subtle way he was starting to infiltrate my life was by destroying my work. Things would disappear. Things were stolen, little by little, within the environment in which we worked. And then it started to spread outside of that environment. It went to, I owned a deli at the time. I owned a restaurant. And he sent in a letter complaining about my banana bread.
Yeah.
That got him sick. So the Board of Health came in. And then, of course, they had to do an inspection, and they fined us on something unrelated. So it was just like every aspect of my life he was infiltrating. Every aspect, and it's spread out like concentric circles. It started at work very slowly over a number of years, and then spread out.
Well, this is actually kind of typical. This is, you know, this is one of the ways that this kind of stalking thing can manifest. So, you know, let's do some tips here. I got a couple of suggestions that I think that are going to help. And again, unfortunately, no single course of action is going to end that, and a lot of stuff is going to depend on the relationship you have with the stalker. Like in your case, it's going to be, where you knew the stalker, he worked with you, he had access to a lot of personal information. It can be very, very difficult. But first and foremost tip, have no contact with the stalker if you can do it. You're working with that person every day. That's going to be very difficult. But If you have that option, the stalker feeds on your attention and that of anyone close to you. And it doesn't matter whether that attention is positive or negative, as long as they get that attention. Mm-hmm. That kind of, maybe from the first stalking incident, you could see that a little how that would play out.
Yes.
Really and truly, only the police should contact or confront the stalker. Mm-hmm. And please avoid sending a large family member or friend, relative or friend, to confront the stalker. That can enrage them, and it can actually escalate the methods that the stalker uses to get to you. Because in many cases, and especially if you're dealing with someone who is mentally ill, they believe that these people are doing it, that you have no knowledge about it, and then that they are now the ones that are stopping that stalker from reaching you, not you. Mm-hmm. And there are so many ways that these stalkers are in self-denial about these kind of things.
Right.
Another tip that I think is a really good one: document every call or letter that the stalker sends to you, and also document any face-to-face contact that you have with the stalker. Mm-hmm. Because if you decide you do want to press charges against it, if it gets to that point where there's no other way but to do that, the more evidence you have of the harassment, the more likely it is that you're going to get a legal solution or a legal partial solution to the problem. And, of course, be sure to return any packages unopened. And this is an interesting phenomena that sometimes they'll send packages that are romantic, sometimes very threatening and horrible, bizarre ones. Did you have that too, Valerie?
Oh yes, excrement.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Dead birds. You know, horrible things. Sometimes it's flowers. Sometimes it's gifts. Whatever it is, return them unopened. Mm-hmm. You absolutely do not want to give that, to let that person know that you've gotten his messages or her messages. Another thing that I think is kind of important. Now, there are legal avenues you can pursue, but I would urge people in this situation who are considering it to get advice from a stalking counselor or an agency before you decide whether to get an order of protection or an injunction against harassment against the stalker. Because there are many pros, but there are also some very serious cons involved with this. And each stalking case is unique. I mean, and it can absolutely escalate. If access to you is denied, it can escalate the destructive behavior or the dangerous behavior of the stalker. And that also goes, by the way, with changing your phone number. So before you decide to do that, know what your options are. And as Valerie mentioned also, you can get an order of protection against somebody, but the police cannot do anything to the stalker until he violates that. Mm-hmm. And depending on how seriously he violates that, I mean, violation could mean physical harm to you before they can actually step in.
Right.
So that you want to know exactly what your options are. And in many cases, you might want to really leave that to the last option. I also want to talk really quickly about changing your phone number. Did that occur to you, Valerie, to change your phone number? Were you getting a lot of phone calls?
What we did was, and again, this is before the caller ID business started, what we did was we just left the machine on, and because it would happen throughout the night, and we'd shut mm-hmm. down the phone to see how many times he called, and then I started to just keep those little messages as tape recordings, just as evidence. We mm-hmm. We didn't want to change the number because everybody had our home number, and we had elderly parents, blah, blah, blah. So we wanted to just have, I think this the advent of cell phones had started, so we gave as an emergency number to our parents the other number to call if they needed us. And the main number was just shut down. The ringer was just shut down.
Well, there are some electronic options now. As you say, caller ID is very helpful. There are electronic call screening devices that you can set up with the phone company, whoever has your service provider. No one with an unlisted phone, for example, can get through to my phone. that kind of thing. But there's also another, and you mentioned you didn't want to change your phone number. Well, we're coming up on break, and I want to come back from break. I want to give you another option to doing that and why that can sometimes escalate the situation as well. So let's take a break. We come back. We're going to be talking with Valerie Smaldone. We're going to talk about changing the phone number or not changing it. So stay tuned.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.fightsafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 personal safety teleseminars. Think fast, talk fast, fight smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's personal safety seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street.
Yo, what's up, baby? Wanna learn some history?
I got live learning, beautiful books inside.
And don't expect anyone to just offer you an education.
Who needs a high school diploma, huh?
Unfortunately, you can't buy a diploma from some guy with a briefcase. But there is one way you can get the educational skills you and your family need for free, with free family learning programs. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free GED, computer training classes, and other family learning programs. That's 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out, check it out. With your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
After all, you can't get your education on the street. Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. The first step to a better life. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome back to Crime Prevention 101, and I'm talking with my girl Valerie Smaldone, and we're talking about stalking, and we're going to talk a little bit about self-defense, too. Right before the break, I talked about whether to change your phone number or not. And again, there are electronic options in terms of phone screening.
Right.
But
what I did, wasn't that a good solution at the time to have a secondary number just for emergency reasons?
Well, actually, here's what it involved, a second line, if you can do it. Because, and also, the longer, many stalkers, as I said, become enraged if a victim changes their phone number because it limits the access to them. And it can, and this can prompt the stalker to come to the victim's home or office or call the office in any desperate attempt to make contact. And it's even been known to provoke an assault. So the suggestion is to leave the number. This is one option. And again, it's somewhat individual. It depends on if you know what you're dealing with. You leave the phone number that you have and you put it, hook it up to an answering machine. You turn it off and you never answer it because that stalker, if you're getting to that kind of persistence, will be calling at all hours of the day and night. You get a second phone number, you get it unlisted, and you give it out to your friends, to your family, very guardedly. And you have to make sure to tell them not to give that number out without asking you. And that means, unfortunately, you're going to have to tell them what's going on. And a lot of times, we don't want to talk about it with people. We don't want to let people that you know, friends know what's actually going on. In your situation, you might have ended up giving it to the actual stalker before you knew who he was.
Right.
So again, you know, these are not foolproof. But if that's not the situation, what happens is that stalker will keep calling the phone and keep calling the phone and thinking that you're getting the messages and you're just not answering it. It'll give you a small measure of peace to try and work out some other things. And again, you want to really let people know around you what the situation is because it's so easy for them to slip. And as I say, these people can be very clever at figuring things out. Keep that number unlisted, and again, let people know what's going on. And also keep, I like the idea of the cell phone, and you do want to keep the cell phone handy because sometimes they will cut the phone lines. If they're going to make some kind of an actual assault on you or try to get into your house, they can do that. So you do want to have that cell phone as well.
Yeah, at all times.
And yeah, exactly. And it is a protection in case you have to, if you're really fearing for an assault on the premises. We talked about setting up a safe room in the house that you can lock, and you can grab that cell phone and call the police and tell them that somebody is breaking into the house. You'd also, of course, if you're fearful of that, you want to make sure you've got a good security system in the house as well. Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to that one last tip there about talking to your family and friends and neighbors. Make sure your landlord or your apartment complex manager knows, because again, these people are very ingenious about pretending to be delivery men, repairmen. They even have impersonated law enforcement personnel mm-hmm. to gain access to your premises. And you are going to have to tell your employer and your coworkers mm-hmm. because again, it's very easy for them to pretend to be an old friend that's lost touch with you, and these people unwittingly can give out your contact information.
Right.
I
want to say something, Susan, if I can,
sure.
About what I said earlier, feeling very alone when you're going through this period of time. So I want to just put this out to your listeners that if anybody's been through an incident like this, I would hope that they would contact you on your website to share their story, because there's sort of this unspoken society of people who've had these incidents, and we sort of brush it under the rug. But even talking about it now with you, it's brought back memories I've put away for years. And I would just like to know if anybody else has been in the situation. I think it would be very healing for them to contact you and sort of just reach out.
Well, I'm happy to do that. And not only that, Valerie, I'm going to post my tips on my DearSafetySolutions.com website so that they're going to be there for people to download. And if anyone wants to email me, you can do that by using solutions@fightsafe.com. And I will be happy to make a referral There are a number of organizations all over the country. Like I did a show in the archives, the Family Justice Centers, and they are spread out all over the country. And they are a great stalking resource for you. There's also a website called End Stalking in America that has a tremendous amount of information and resources for you to go to. And the National Center for Victims of Crime, ncvc.org, also has a stalking resource center that you can go to get information about what to do, tips, referrals in your area. And, of course, I am happy to help, solutions@fightsafe.com.
Also, over the years, since my first stalking incident, the laws have changed for the better, for the victim. When I was going through this, there was really not much on the books. They were like, yeah, well, they'll have to kill you first, you know, before really we can do anything or touch you. So things have changed dramatically, and even with emailing now, that is, you know, if somebody violates you through email, that's another stalking methodology that's being used and recognized. So the laws have changed, and at least that's the good news over the last 10, 20 years, don't you think, Susan?
Indeed. As a matter of fact, now all 50 states do have anti-stalking laws, but varying penalties for doing it, unfortunately. Most of them do assign legal remedy, in other words, jail term or whatever, depending on the severity of the stalking. But not all of them are a very long period of time. I mean, for what that fan was doing, maybe you'd be lucky to get 6 months, very likely, nowadays.
That's true.
And that's not a whole lot of time.
Right.
Stalking also happens to be extremely common in domestic violence cases. And if they can get that person in jail for a year or two, and what happens is he spends that year or two thinking of ways that he can harm his victim when he gets out. It gets him madder and madder and madder. They don't seem to be able to have any psychological help for them. Anger management courses are not going to do it here. That's pretty much a waste of time, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And you're just not going to get the it's a very difficult situation. And those are the situations where sometimes the people actually have to consider going into kind of a victim protection program, similar to a witness protection program.
Well, there's still plenty of room for reform and improvement, so hopefully with programs like yours, this will continue to have the attention placed on it that it needs to have.
It's interesting. I have a show coming up in a couple of weeks because I think my listeners know that most of my shows are taped in advance. And I spoke to a woman. She was a up and coming singer, songwriter, musician, and an actress. And then when I say upcoming, I mean she performed at the Grand Ole Opry. She had studied at the Metropolitan Opera. She had a great voice. She had a great career as a songwriter to many famous people that we know. She got stalked by a real psycho. She had to go into this victim protection program for 20 years.
Oh my God.
She could not sing, perform, or do anything else. So, you know, that's kind of an extreme case, but it does happen. And what is also unfortunately common is that most of the murders that occur between domestic violence cases, they had also stalked their victims, and it ended in murder. And most of them had orders of protection as well.
Wow.
I was going to say no easy answers, Valerie. Mm-hmm. No easy answers. It's a case by case. And that's one of the reasons why I really urge people, before you take any action, get some counseling from the Family Justice Center, from the district attorney's office, not so much the police, because they always think in terms of a legal remedy. But find out some of the options that you might have before you decide what you're going to do.
Great advice.
All right. Now, I heard a rumor. You have some questions you want to ask me. We've got a couple of minutes. We've got 1 minute till the break, and then we're coming up to our final segment.
Well, Susan, you know, you're such an interesting woman to me and a hero because your listeners may not realize what you look like, but when somebody conjures up the image of a person involved with personal safety and self-defense and all the things that you do, you're thinking more like, you know, Terminator woman. But you have a very pleasant appearance. You're like a PTA mom, you know, very neighborly next-door lady. But that you are a warrior in your own right in your intent and how you deliver information and how you help people who might be in unfortunate situations. So I would love to talk to you a little bit about your situations in life and how you came to be a safety specialist and some of the amazing feats that you've gone through on in really difficult situations. Can we talk a little bit about that?
I would be happy to. We're coming up close to the break, and what I'm going to do, let's break here, and when we come back, we're going to be in our closing segment. I'll talk a little bit about self-defense, because it is Self-Defense Awareness Month as well as Stalking Month. I've got a couple of tips, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the things that I did. And yes, I'm only 5 feet tall. I don't look tough. All right, everyone, stay tuned.
Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hello, we're Mike and Susan.
Hello, I'm Catherine.
We are the March of Dimes 2008 National Ambassador family. Although Catherine was born extremely premature with many challenges, today she is a healthy 5-year-old thanks to the March of Dimes.
I'm Don Germano, Senior Vice President of Kmart Stores. Kmart is proud to support March of Dimes' mission to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please make a donation at any Kmart or at marchforbabies.org so that one day all babies are born healthy.
Divorce, child custody, support, and visitation, division of property, attorneys, court. Just the thought of divorce is stressful enough. Never mind the combative, destructive, and expensive process. Is there a better way? Yes, divorce mediation. On Divorce Mediation, Myths and Facts, host Philip Mulford, one of the country's top divorce mediators, will discuss this incredibly successful alternative. Formerly a practicing attorney, Philip will explore the myths and facts about a process that has kept his clients out of court and saved them thousands of dollars. If you aren't familiar with divorce mediation, or your lawyer has told you it's not appropriate for your case, this show is for you. After listening to Divorce Mediation, Myths and Facts, you'll tell anyone considering a divorce, go to mediation first. Divorce Mediation, changing the culture of divorce.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.fightsafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 personal safety teleseminars. Think Fast, Talk Fast, Fight Smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's personal safety seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
News, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome back to Crime Prevention 101. I'm here talking with Valerie Smaldone, and we were talking about stalking, because it's Stalking Awareness Month. And I've got to remind you again, I've got those tips on the website. And I just want to also talk just what I always say about those tips. You know, no absolutes exist in a crime scenario, and no advice can possibly address every variable. So you really have to evaluate each situation individually. And I only want you to respond in the way that you instinctively judge best. And what I'm trying to do with this radio show and everything that I do is to give you the kind of information and options that will really help you make that instinctive assessment quickly. So go look for, if you've got a need or you know someone who would like those stalking tips, with that perspective, they'll be on my website. And I've got some self-defense tips for you as well coming up. But yes, to get back to what we were talking about, and I'm doing self-defense for an awfully long time. I started as a self-defense instructor. And I came to that honestly because, as Valerie, as you know, and I've shared with you, I was the victim of a bad breakup with a guy. And in fact, it did involve stalking. I'm not sure how much I went into that with you when we talked before, but when I was about 19 years old, and again, I knew very little, and I met this guy, and he seemed attractive, and he seemed fun. But after a short period of time, and I was actually, I was kind of a rebel, Valerie, as you might know from our mm-hmm. talks. Mm-hmm. And I didn't always follow go to high school, go to college. I took some time in between to kind of have some fun. And this happened during one of those breaks that I took. And I met this guy, and shortly after I met him, I realized that there was something wrong with him.
What tipped you off about that?
It was just a feeling that there was some mental problems. And I would tell him, don't drop by unannounced. I was going to night school at that time, and it was very easy to persuade me to chuck my studies and go and hang out. And I would tell him, don't come by, I've got a test. And he would come by. He kept disregarding my wishes. That was a very small thing, but it began building up. He had a friend that I didn't like particularly, and he kept bringing this friend over, and I would say, he's all right, I don't really like him. Just little instinctive things kept telling me that something's not quite right here. Mm-hmm. And when I decided that this was it, unfortunately, and I had two roommates at the time, and I waited until we were alone in the apartment to tell him, no, you're a really nice guy. You know the speech, Valerie. I know you've done it many times. I think you're a great guy. I'd like to be friends, but there's nothing happening with us mm-hmm. otherwise. And he got enraged, and he started beating me up. And even at that moment, I just knew that if I had any idea how to fight, I could have kicked his ass. Mm. And that's true. I knew it deep down inside of me. And what eventually happened, he did try and stalk me. And he was able to get past the doorman in my building, and he did get up to the apartment. But friends that were with me at the time, because I wasn't alone, so he was scared off by the friends. He did call my job. He did call my parents. In this case, there was a large person that was able to convince him otherwise.
Uh-huh.
And that is not something I recommend because it can backfire. Mm-hmm. But this person evidently was extremely persuasive, as I was told he would be. And, you know, again, it's not going to work in every situation. In some situations it can really backfire. That's why you say you have to really assess what you're dealing with, and it can be dangerous for the person that tries to do this as well. But that's what ended that for me. But after that, I knew that I was going to study karate or martial arts of some kind. I was going to learn how to protect myself. What's interesting, I think, also about this incident is that about 2 years later, I saw his picture in the paper
a completely different name. He had given me a phony name. His friend's picture, the one I didn't like, was also in the paper, also a phony name. And what had happened was he and the friend had, they had lured two 16-year-old girls out of the cafe that we frequented, and I frequented with him, and they had had raped them.
Oh, my goodness.
So it could have been me, and that truly kind of set the course for my life. And I knew that I wanted to learn, number one, how to protect myself. And very shortly after I started training, people started asking me what to do. And that's when I knew what I was going to do with the rest of my life.
Wow.
I was going to tell them.
That's a stunning story. You know, I just have to say this, but I'm chomping at the bit to ask you questions because I'm an interviewer, and I want to know more about you, and I know we don't have that much time, but your stories are so fascinating, and as I said earlier in the show, physically you're not the kind of person we would expect to be this individual. You're like this wonderful warrior, but you're like a lady who's going to serve cookies to your kids, you know, next door. So you told me a story a while ago. If we can just hear one of the stories about helping someone who was in trouble on a subway. You were on a subway train, and there was a young woman who was being terrorized by some thugs on the train, and you went into action.
Well, this is just one of the things that I talk about quite often, is that I have had six dangerous incidents in my lifetime. This is kind of how I develop my programs, my self-defense programs, and my personal safety workshops. And I don't like the subway because it had a number of problems on the subway. But this particular day, what happened, and very often, I would find myself intervening if I saw something happening.
Because you can't help yourself.
That's right.
If you can help, you will.
So what had happened was this woman, a young girl, she was like 15 maybe. I don't know if most of you can picture New York City subways, but there was a seat of three, and this little girl was there, and I was sitting, their empty seat, and I was sitting in the last seat. And there were two teen boys who were facing me, who were sort of diagonal from us, and one of them moved over. I'm kind of minding my business, reading the newspaper, and minding my business, and this kid comes over, and he starts to try and pick this young girl up. And to make a long story short, when he went back over, and she was really scared, I knew he was coming back, so I moved over and sat next to her. There was no more empty seat. And he pulled out a knife, and he started telling me to get out of there, and I better move over. And I pretended that I didn't see him, but I had worked out a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that my plan was I had a briefcase with me, and I was going to use that as a shield against the knife.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a very clear view of his kneecap, and I was going to do a kick to the kneecap. I was going to try to break that kneecap, and I was going to use that briefcase to bring him down. But you know what, Valerie? I got stories. I got a lot of stories. I want to tell my stories because I think that it shows people that they can do something and not be a warrior. So I think I'm going to, we talked about maybe having you come back and let's talk more about self-defense. Why don't we do that? Let's schedule something.
I would love to.
Do self-defense because we're coming down to the end of the show. Now, I've got some tips on self-defense on my DearSafetySolutions.com website.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Big Ten. You can download it from there. You can hear all the past episodes of Crime Prevention 101 that you would like. Just go to my DearSafetySolutions.com website or go to my host page on VoiceAmerica.com, and you can download them. If you've got a question to ask me, just email me at solutions@fightsafe.com, and I will be happy to answer your questions, and I also want to hear your comments about the shows. I'd like to hear any safety concerns or any topics. if you've been in a stalking situation and you've got a tip as to what works, let me know. Email me, solutions@fightsafe.com, and I will mention it on the air, or maybe I can put it up in my website, or any way that I can get it out there. Next week, I'm going to be talking about a very interesting case. I talked about earlier this case where the woman had to go into hiding for 20 years. So you know what? You're not going to want to miss it. It'll be a crime not to listen. So stay tuned and stay safe.
We hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time and 2 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. Have a great weekend and a safe weekend.